Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast,
where we dive into all things digital automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakara. While I'm not podcasting, I help people keep up with the fast-changing digital technologies at botnirvana.org. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. Today we have Sarthak Jain, the CEO of NanoNets. NanoNets is an AI-powered document processing platform with inbuilt automation features. NanoNets uses advanced machine learning and deep learning techniques to extract relevant information from unstructured data. In this talk, we discuss NanoNets document processing and automation capabilities, the document processing field in general, and its future. Let's listen in. Hi, Sarthak. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. It's great having you today. Can we start with a quick personal intro?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm Sarthak, the founder and CEO of NanoNets. I've been doing this for about 5-6 years now and super excited to be on this podcast and talk to you about what NanoNets is doing.
Great. Yeah, I've heard a lot about NanoNets and, you know, especially what you're doing with AI to address the unstructured data challenges. So can you introduce NanoNets for our audience?
Sure, absolutely. So NanoNets is a platform that businesses use to automate manual and repetitive tasks using AI. Our core premise is that we want to make every single person in your organization more productive. The way that companies typically use us is they take a manual process like accounts payable automation, where there might be some people in your team who are manually going through a bunch of invoices, seeing if they are correct, marking it in your system like QuickBooks, and then sending it for payment. This is typically very time consuming. And as your business grows, the number of people needed for this process keeps increasing. And we help automate that such that your most valuable resource, your people, are better spent on the things that genuinely help your business grow and scale, as opposed to manual and tedious tasks.
Awesome. So you mentioned like an automation use case. So generally, is NanoNets used along with automation?
Right. So that's a great question. And I think this talks about the automation landscape in general, where every automation problem to some extent is bespoke. And you might have point solutions as well as entire automation ecosystems. So we do coexist with other automation providers. We are sometimes an end-to-end solution for a problem. And that really depends. And it's both dependent on what the company wants to do at that time or how they think about their automation journey. But I don't think there is any one company who's capable of providing an end-to-end automation solution for everybody. And I think that's the way the industry is progressing, with a lot of coexistence and a lot of different automation tools working together.
True. Yeah, I agree with that. And so what's your end-to-end solution, Sarthak? Where does your boundary come in?
So we're always looking to expand our boundaries.
Okay.
We started providing just data extraction as a service, where we would take a piece of data and help you convert that from unstructured into structured data, and we're just providing an API. And in the process of doing that, our customers have demanded more and more of us, saying, can you do more of the automation piece? So the landscape of our offering keeps increasing. Now we integrate with your applications like your ERP or your email or where you store your data. And we're helping you move data from one place to the other, as well as automating some of the rules, the decision-making process that go into it. So the landscape is ever evolving, but at the moment we're focused on taking data from one place, extracting data from it, applying business rules and automation, applying approvals, and then writing it into data warehouse or wherever you're finally storing your data.
Okay. I like that you're focused on your core competency. And that itself is a huge problem, right? Because by some estimates, 80% of the data in most enterprises are unstructured data. So huge problem that you have. So from a market perspective, how do you differentiate yourself? Because there are many IDP players out there now, and I don't know if you classify yourself as an IDP player, but I'm saying many unstructured solution provider, or data solution providers there.
Sure. And the branding of that, I think, is very interesting. Where if you call yourself an IDP company or an automation company, I think we're a company that does what our customers want us to do, where we're more customer obsessed than obsessed with what bucket Gartner wants to put us in. Having said that, we think of the IDP market as, again, ever expanding, because the use cases where, what is a document? A document was very well defined when there was physical piece of paper. But today, the concept of a document itself is very nebulous. Is a PDF a document? Is an email a document? Is a support ticket a document? So the concept of a document itself is nebulous. And I think we're growing as that definition sort of evolves. That's how I like to think about it.
Okay. And I like how you said that you don't like to be placed in a bucket, right? And that's how all this industry, or traditionally how it has all evolved, with analysts making buckets and having those quadrants, and everyone want to position themselves in some particular term. So I like that you are bucket independent, and you want to solve customer solutions how it should be, right? I mean, we are looking to solve the customer solutions. And also, I think as technology exponentially increases, it has to be more and more about niche solution that we are solving for customers. So I love what you guys are doing out there.
Actually, a great Jeff Bezos answer, and I don't want to take credit for coming up with this, but I think somebody asked him, are you an e-commerce company? Are you a logistics company? Are you a fulfillment company? And I think he said, we're a customer company and we'll do whatever the customer wants us to do. And I think that's the ethos that we are also trying to live by.
And I think that's a great way to look at it. I think all the digital bond companies are looking to do it that way. You know, they all are customer focused, and you have to be that way. And you are more, you know, your customer audience focused and looking to help them in whatever way they can, and trying to stick to your core objectives, right? Rather than try and be part of one bucket or part of multiple buckets and then advertise and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's interesting. So as you say, the definition of a document is becoming nebulous. The whole space now coming into generative AI is taking a different turn altogether, right? Like now, if you look at ChatGPT, and they've still not released their multimodal capacity, but you know, the multimodal capacity is, you know, freeing up unstructured data, if the way I look at it. I mean, and it's much more than documents. It's videos, audios, you name it. You put it into ChatGPT, and then you get it out to get things out from the other end. And to boot, they're adding plugins so that you can automate, right? So there's a lot of things coming down the pipe. So how do you see this industry evolving with GPT?
Yeah, absolutely. And as opposed to giving GPT a lot of credit for it, I think I'd like to give even more credit to both just deep learning breakthroughs as well as transformers. I think transformers are really the thing that's propelled this industry forward. Our business is possible because of the existence of transformers. And I think GPT has done a very interesting thing where it has created so much buzz around this topic, where a lot more people think stuff is possible that they didn't imagine was possible.
Right.
Prior to GPT, our biggest challenge when trying to sell our product or trying to get adoption was sort of making people get over the point of disbelief, where people were still stuck in the fact that, oh, we need to define a template. That's how data extraction happens. And if I don't have a template, that's not possible. And then we said, you know, AI solves this problem. And it was very difficult to visualize. But because of GPT and the level of distribution that they've created, it's just opened an entire bucket of imagination where now people are thinking about use cases that they didn't previously think were possible. So more than anything, I think the impact of GPT is changing the way people imagine their process automation or the things that they think are possible today.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned a very interesting thing there, that, you know, your company exists because of transformers. So is NanoNets based on transformers?
I don't want to go too much into you know, the details of technical architecture. It might stretch for a bit, but definitely core inspiration is transformers. We have actually had a multimodal model for quite some time. So since 2021, we've actually had a multimodal model, which is similar to the GPT-4 model that you mentioned. Obviously, it's much larger, but we've been using multimodal technology since then. And the core idea behind it is definitely based on transformers.
Okay, okay. So, and with GPT coming in now, I mean, yes, it's introduced that, and it's brought in a lot of hype. So how do you think this will progress in terms of GPT? How can GPT and this new generative AI help IDP industry progress?
Yeah, I think the same answer that I gave before, which is a lot more people are going to believe that things are possible than, let's say, 6 or 12 months before, because they've seen things happen. And the adoption of both AI and cloud is going to be insane. One of the two things that are holding us back is people don't trust AI, that's one. And second is that most people want things on-prem. And it's, I don't want to say tough, but it's very challenging to run state-of-the-art AI models on-prem and have distribution. Where if you look at even just the speed of OpenAI or Cohere or any of these people doing research, making sure those models can run on customers' platforms is probably one of the things which was holding back the IDP and the RPA industry. And moving both to cloud and AI first, I think that's going to be the big change where people will imagine a lot of things that are possible that weren't previously.
Okay. I want to challenge you a bit there in terms of cloud, because I understand it would be a frictionless way for people to adopt AI, and some people are, but the way I see it in the industry, many people are not. They are afraid of sending their data to GPT or any of these models out there in the cloud, because these are very powerful models and you don't know where you could end up. And many are actually looking at having models within the edge. You know, I've had customers say that, you know, can we run some open source LLMs on our premises? And in that way, you know, the data is not out. So what's your thought on that?
Absolutely. And I'm completely for data privacy and customers ensuring that their data is private and secure. And in some cases, it needs to run on the edge for sure. Now, large scale LLMs can be run on edge devices as well, but they're always going to be slightly slower in terms of both getting the state of the art model there as well as the performance that you can get on these edge devices. So there may be a bigger case for private cloud, but I definitely see companies that are willing to move to cloud first solutions with state-of-the-art security having a distinct advantage over customers who want to be on-prem only. And the worst case is when customers want to have their own servers and you want to deploy large-scale models on somebody else's physical hardware. That is an entirely different challenge.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about nanonets and, you know, what you've been doing. So you've been doing this innovative AI approach to document processing. How has the industry embraced your offerings, and, you know, what use cases are you seeing for that?
Yeah. So it's been super interesting because we've had an open to use platform where anybody listening in can go in and start uploading a document and we'll process it for you. We don't require you to talk to a salesperson. We don't require you to buy an enterprise license. Just because of that, the variety of documents that we see is really large. We see everything from invoices to legal contracts to ID cards to, you know, people uploading birth certificates, just every single possible type of document you can imagine. And that's where we've seen our customers reimagine what a document is, where now for Fortune 500 customers, we also process support tickets, like I mentioned. So the concept of a document, the imagination is just what our customers are doing with it. They are imagining new use cases on a daily basis. And again, because of LLMs, the thing that you should really think of this space as is ELT for, or ETL for unstructured data, where you can sort of move data from one storage or one data warehouse to another in a very seamless manner, because the conversion will be done by AI. So it essentially unlocks a large part of whatever data store you have. It could be customer interaction data, it could be chat communication, wherever you're storing the data, as long as you can convert it into some kind of structured format, you can move into another data warehouse or another application.
Okay, so two things there I want to double click on. One is the business model. So, you know, you said you had an open business model. And so can you share your business model? I think there is some part which is free and then you go to pay it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way our business works is we essentially charge on the number of data points that you're processing with us. you can start off on a pay-as-you-go plan, which means that you can come in and you can start uploading. You could upload one document and pay for one document. We have a free tier, which is completely free to use, where you don't have to pay us anything. Now, when you move towards, I want to process a significant volume of data, I have business critical data that needs to be processed in large volumes, then you move towards our enterprise plans. And we still charge you on a per document process basis, but the costs are significantly lower and the volumes are significantly higher.
So the other aspect I wanted to check is the number of formats, right? You're talking of this like multiple formats and people uploading anything and everything out there. How has NanoNets been able to process such a wide variety of formats, and how successful have you been in getting out the data?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I really like about our product and platform and the capability, which is you don't need to have a specific format where you don't care about what format of a contract you have. It's just a contract that you want to extract data from, or it's an S1 and you want to do analysis on the company. The format or types of documents don't really matter. All that matters is the data that you're looking to unlock from it. And we enable that because of the breakthroughs in AI, where you don't need to have very specific formats or documented data types. You just need to specify the kind of data that you want to extract from it, and we'll handle the rest. So it's completely format agnostic.
Okay. And so I've not used NanoNets, but so let's say it gives you a first cut, and then do you need to map the data and tell it and correct it?
Sure. So that's another interesting part of the product, which is you come in, you specify that, let's say, hey, I have an invoice. These are the 20 things that I want to extract from it. And I say that to the platform and I upload an invoice and it's able to extract that. Now I say that, you know, this is not the exact format that I wanted in. When you're giving me the address of the seller, I don't want you to include the PIN code. Can you exclude the PIN code? And you specify that in, you make a correction on the platform itself and you specify that. And it, what it does is it keeps learning from this feedback, and the model sort of customizes to what your business needs are. Where in phone numbers, if you know for a fact that I do not want the country code, you can remove that. Or if you have a specific bank account number type that's not default and is specific to your country, like the Australian ABN. So you can specify these things, and the NanoNets product will pick up on those and keep learning with every new document that you upload.
Okay. So you did mention invoices a couple of times. So what are the key document types that you're seeing on your side?
Yeah, sure. So we see a wide variety of documents, but there's a lot of finance related use cases like invoices, receipts, purchase orders, bill of lading, contracts. We do have a large presence within finance organizations, and we are sort of helping become the back office automation solution for finance teams. And given that sort of positioning, we are seeing a lot of finance related use cases and those kinds of documents.
Can you share any one particular use case or a couple of use cases which is interesting?
Sure. So we've had a large manufacturing company where one of their use cases is that they send out quotations to their customers. Their customers might come back with some changes and then issue purchase orders. Now, what happens is there may be a 2-3 month lag between the quotation, the purchase order, and then they need to generate an invoice. If you think about this problem, it's quite complex and you would have multiple people required to be able to handle this. What NanoNets does is that we read the quotation from their ERP directly. We take back the purchase order that the customer sent. We are able to map these two, and we're also able to figure out on a line item basis, what is the percentage threshold, that is this within permissible threshold of acceptance to be able to issue invoice automatically against the purchase order. And this is saving them hundreds of hours in people running this process manually. And this is a very large scale manufacturing organization. So you can imagine the number of quotations that they're issuing. So this was fairly interesting, and seeing, you know, the level of happiness in the people. Like, so one of the things that you think of is, oh, you're automating people's job and people won't have a job anymore. What you end up realizing is this was the most boring, dull, mundane part of their job that nobody wanted to do. And once you can remove this, they're so much more productive and they're able to do 10 more things. And essentially what you're going to see is the fact that the cost of manufacturing itself will come down, because now you've reduced this line item from your, it's not a part of cost of goods, but it's a part of cost of sales. And if your cost of sales is reducing, your cost of manufacturing itself is going to go down. So you're going to see all of these insane levels of productivity where people are just going to be more productive, as opposed to the worry that you'll end up replacing jobs.
Yeah, seeing that excitement in your customers, I think that that's one of the joys of doing all these things, right? Yeah. And so as we progress, I'm thinking this will become much more powerful, right? I mean, I think AI is becoming powerful. I don't know if you believe that it's near AGI levels now, but some people claim it's almost AGI. Somebody claimed it's sentient too. So what excites you about the future of what's coming up in terms of freeing up unstructured data for your customers?
Yeah, I don't have any strong opinions on the AGI, because I think the definition of AGI itself has been changing. You had a time where if you could chat with a bot without being able to tell if it's a bot or not, that was, you know, a sentient computer. And that's changed to now you can probably tell it's a computer because it gives replies which are better than human. So it's a funny dichotomy. But in terms of what we're excited about, I think we're just excited about the level of automation, where I think there's this one very interesting concept where, can you have a one-person company where every single thing is automated and using AI, and this one person running the company? And can that become $1 billion in valuation or 100 million in revenue or something? And I think things like that are really exciting, that can you have that kind of automation, which was the industrial age brought about a ton of automation in terms of us being able to manufacture. But knowledge work is going to go through a deep level of automation. So you'll see these interesting concepts emerge. And we're really excited to be a part of that journey.
And that excites me too. And, you know, Naval Ravikant, in one of his tweets, he says that, you know, you look forward to 8 billion businesses, right? So each person is a business, and each may be a $1 billion business. So just imagine, you know, the explosive growth that we're going to see. And being part of that journey, being part of that future of how people live and work, that will be amazing. So yeah, I agree. So how do you see NanoNets incorporating things on that journey? Any roadmap that you have?
Yeah, so we're deeply focused on automation. We're deeply focused on some of these problems that we mentioned. We keep asking ourselves that, let's say whenever we have a successful customer, the next question to them is that, what are you doing before and after you use the NanoNets product that is manual or that is time consuming? And can we help you solve that problem? So we constantly are pushing the frontier, but doing it one customer at a time, asking them what their biggest pain points and problems are, and where are they spending a lot of time doing manual work, and just focusing on trying to automate that.
Okay. And yeah, so very customer focused. But it's some one of the things that struck me when you were talking about, like, you know, how you indicate this, that I need this field, I don't know, I don't want this field, that kind of thing. I think now you probably have a GUI based interface. So are you looking to make it something like a chat interface, Ella, with the way things are going right now? Just curious.
Yeah, interface is a very interesting thing, where chat is great at reducing barrier to entry because you don't need to know anything about the software. But it's not necessarily the most expressive form of interaction, where sometimes I need the affordance of knowing what is possible or what I can do. I'll give you an example that, you know, ChatGPT plugins, you have Expedia. And I was trying to get it to work for planning a trip that I wanted. And sometimes it's just impossible to explain to it what is it that you want and help it understand the constraints. Whereas when you have this defined interface on Expedia, which says, here are the flights, here are the dates, here are all of the 20 different options, it sort of gives you a much higher level of affordance. So chat interfaces lower the barrier to entry and make sort of freeform thought possible. But when you want very specific task-driven things, that, let's say I want to go to an ATM and I want to withdraw money, I do not want a chat interface where I have to explain to it what I want to do. You know, sometimes it's just optimal to go there and say that, you know, $50, please give it out. Like, so two clicks, $50, enter my PIN and money comes out. Sometimes chat is an overkill.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. You know, there are places where we just want that point solution, where there are probably, but there are many where you can take out a lot of clicks, right? I mean, because we now do, like, many clicks before we get to do things that we want to do. So I think, I mean, it's probably a balance of both. So yeah, that's an interesting point.
From a chat interface perspective, right? Like wherever there is a complex interface where barrier to entry is super high and it's difficult to explain the interface and sort of do onboarding, I think chat interfaces work really well there, where you can get the customer to be productive way before you need to explain anything to them.
Okay, agreed. So, you know, we did talk about NanoNets being an open model. So if people want to get started with NanoNets, do they just go to nanonets.com and sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go to nanonets.com, sign up, start, you know, trying to automate whatever you think is a manual process that you want to help your company get better at.
So in terms of automation, you get the data to do the automation, right? I mean, just to clarify how you automate the thing.
Right. So that's an interesting part. And that's where our product is expanding, where we actually cater to a lot more automation than just data extraction. Okay. But our go-to-market motion is mostly focused on conversion of the unstructured into structured. But what we're seeing more and more, like again, going back to the, let's say, purchase order or the invoice example, where once you get that purchase order matched to the quotation, you also want to send out the invoice and you want to add that data to the ERP. And you want to trigger the email. Now, all of that is also possible as a part of the automation on the NanoNets product. And the way we're expanding the scope of what we do is we're seeing that, okay, what's the next thing that you do after that? Okay, like you send out the email, what's the next thing you do? You get a response to the email. Can you do something with that? So we're thinking of it in terms of automation as opposed to just data extraction.
Oh, okay, got it. And so do you have like a place where they can indicate that workflow so that the data can be moved to an ERP, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a workflow section within the product now, and about 80% of our customers are using our workflows product in addition to our data extraction product. So even though we started with just doing data extraction, now workflows has become a critical piece of our product. And some people would probably, you know, use it more for the workflow and the automation piece than just the data extraction.
Interesting. Thank you, Sarthak. This was an awesome chat. So before we go, where can people find and connect with you?
Absolutely. So I'm active on Twitter. I'm active on LinkedIn. I'm not sure I'll respond to every message, but just reach out to me. And I'm always happy to connect. If you ever want to discuss automation, I have a lot of thoughts around that and AI in general. So any of those places is great to connect.
Awesome. So I'll leave your Twitter handle as well as LinkedIn so that people can find it and maybe connect with you. So again, Sarthak, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was a great conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And this is a great platform and great. You're bringing awareness of automation to so many people. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you're consuming your podcast. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you are there, feel free to explore more free digital automation resources and more. See you next time.